Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Boy, what do I do to help my kids, especially my kids that are in high school, be able to get a further sense of connection to the faith? How do I help them advance in the faith? How do I help them come alive in their practice of the Catholic faith? I know that those are burning questions that you have, parents, as you are raising your kids as Catholics in a very challenging moment in history. One of the great gifts that I know that my family has found to be a great blessing is going to be the theme of today's program, and that is these Steubenville conferences that are put together for high school students, and in particular, Steubenville Northwest, that has been a particular blessing to my own family. Today in the program, I'll be interviewing the founder of the ministry that oversees and organizes and coordinates the Steubenville Northwest Conference that happens in Spokane. Her name is Jessie Oakland, and once we come back, we're going to welcome her to the program, and we're going to learn about Steubenville conferences, this year's Steubenville Northwest Conference, and so much else. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, we thank you and praise you for who you are. And in this Easter season, Lord, the way that you bless us with new life, and we ask for special graces, Lord, of protection, provision, and guidance for our kids. And especially, Lord, as they're growing up in this world where the challenges facing them are so immense. I ask, Jesus, that you would give them the grace they need to be able to persevere, to overcome obstacles, and to be able to not only advance in the strength to be Catholic Christian disciples of you, Jesus, but that they would also be fervent, courageous witnesses of living their faith in the world. Lord, I ask you to bless the efforts and initiatives that are put together to help them to grow in faith. And in a particular way, Lord, I ask for blessings upon this year's Steubenville Northwest Conference, that it would be a great source of blessing, anointing, and goodness be that would flow into the lives of all who attend. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let me just welcome to the program right now, Jessie Oakland. Jessie, first of all, just thank you for coming on and being with me today. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to share this with people who may not have heard before.
Yeah. So Jessie, you have been involved with Spiritus Ministries Northwest as the regional coordinator for the Steubenville Northwest Conferences. You've done this for what? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, no, 13 years, no, 23 years. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the director was a man named Bob Faulkner previously, before COVID. I was the volunteer coordinator for many, many years. We started there in Spokane in 2006. No, yeah,
that's amazing.
2006. So it's been a long time, and we've been coming to Spokane to do this for quite some time.
Well, and you know, I'm personally thrilled for the last 5 years that you've been doing it here in Spokane, because it's made the travel a lot easier. I remember when we would have our kids attend on the west side when we were in Federal Way and Burien and those areas, it meant the bus ride or packing the kiddos, you know, in the chain of cars that would be making their way on I-90 over to here. I got to say, it's a lot more convenient, and it's been great for us too, because we've been able to attend. We made it just sort of a staple to go to the Sunday morning mass. And then we'd also sneak into the Saturday night time of adoration and empowerment. Just so very powerful. Yeah. Well, let me just say, first of all, what was it that first attracted you to get involved with conferences like this? Because you didn't have kids that age when you first got started. So what was that all about for you? Why would you commit yourself to volunteering and then moving further and further into leadership roles at something like Steubenville Northwest?
So I'm a convert. And the Eucharist is just such a gift that we have as a Catholic Church. And the conferences really focus on adoration and the Mass and just kind of make that a central part of the weekend. And so it really drew me into exposing young kids to the gift that that is, because so oftentimes they don't have experiences like praise and worship with adoration and adoring the Blessed Sacrament. So I was really drawn to that as a convert because it was something I didn't have when I was a teenager.
You know, Jesse, here's a little disclosure. My oldest daughter, Mary Grace, came to the conference. She was first here in ninth grade. So at the beginning of when she was able to go. And when she tells the story of her own growth in faith and awakening of faith, okay, she grew up in our home and we did all kinds of Catholic stuff. But when she identifies the moment where there was a breakthrough and Jesus became more intimate, personal, profound, and life-giving in her own life, it was at Steubenville Northwest during the time of adoration. And, you know, that they facilitate and encourage young people on how to pray in that moment, to open themselves to the Lord and to let him come close. And something happened. She received this incredible gift and her faith came alive in a whole new way. And so when I say, and I have you on, Jesse, to talk about Steubenville Northwest, parents, please know this. You can be raising your kids in a devout Catholic home, doing all kinds of Catholic stuff in intentional Catholic ways, and your kids may be participating, but there is something, there's a grace, there is a power, there is a way that the Lord honors these moments where your kid steps outside of the home, outside of the situation where they're like maybe just getting drawn, you know, on the train carried forward. And now there's the moment where they're asked to step forward themselves. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. They're hearing his voice. They're opening the door. And then Jesus is coming in a new way. And I just want you to know that, brothers and sisters, when you hear this, conferences like Steubenville Northwest are few and far between. There are so few opportunities for you to have your high schooler be together with other high schoolers from around the state and states, multiple states, and they are there for a boisterous, engaging, enthusiastic, and frankly, life-changing weekend. And it is, if you can at all make that happen for your high schooler, you will be blessed. How's that for a little commercial, Jesse?
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, what you said is I started this in this ministry before I even started having kids. And so I was able to encounter that moment that so many teenagers encounter Christ for the first time. Because as parents, we can give them the faith and we can give them the discipline, but it's that personal encounter that they have with Christ at some point in their faith journey that changes their hearts. So I've really experienced that in this conference, watching teens take their faith from their head to their heart when they encounter Christ.
Yeah. And I do want to give a big shout out to the Diocese of Spokane that has welcomed the conference to happen here and has supported it so enthusiastically. When I first arrived in Western Washington, it was 1996, and my wife Carrie, a graduate of Franciscan University, and I have so many dear colleagues that teach at Franciscan University or are part of that community. I was a little bit surprised that this is now, again, it's 20 something years ago, 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago, the Franciscan University didn't always have this like open welcome invitation to enact its ministry, but there were some question marks around it. And I found that just to be a little surprising. I was an outsider coming here, and I'm just thrilled that that has been overcome, that what first began as a question mark is now a, like a magnetic badge. Like, how many parishes are seeking youth ministers, adult faith formation people, and other, you know, parish or diocesan professionals. And when they look and see Franciscan University as the place where they graduated, that's a sense of confidence, and that's a magnetic attractor. And mm-hmm. so I love that Franciscan University and these Steubenville Northwest conferences have proven themselves through the decades to be what you just said, a leaven, a source of transformation in the lives of so many young people.
So. Yeah. And I think that that's what we pray for all of our kids. And so if we can be instruments to make those opportunities possible for the youth of the Pacific Northwest, where it's really needed, it's hard. Like, it's hard to be a teenager in the Pacific Northwest.
It's hard and getting harder is what it is. And so to be able to give a bulwark, like a hedge of defense against that, going to conferences can have, can provide such a grace, such a beautiful source of strength for doing that. So Jesse, again, I'm talking with Jesse Oakland. She is the director of Spiritus Ministries Northwest and the regional coordinator for Steubenville Northwest. Talk about this year's conference. What are your hopes for it? What can you share in terms of if you know, like, oh, so-and-so is going to be speaking, or this is the ministry team, or other things like that, to give folks that are listening a greater understanding of what they can expect having their high schoolers come to the conference?
So we've been in the same venue for 14 years. It's been great. This year we've had to shift. Broadway takes precedence over a youth conference. So we got booted from our previous location, and we're moving over into the Grand, into their ballroom area and their meeting spaces. I'm excited for that, because a lot of times we kind of get stuck in the status quo. So while I think there might be some people that are a little bit nervous for change, I'm excited that we're going to have to do things differently. We do have a great speaker team. Chris Padgett is our host this year. I know he's got a pretty big following of young people that just really enjoy listening to him. And so I think our speaker team, Father Edwin Leonard is our team priest. And he's a very dynamic, holy priest that I think will just really be able to draw the kids into the conference. So the conference kind of consists of kicking off on Friday night. We open our main venue doors at 5, and they do kind of an introduction, a small adoration. Spokane is so blessed to have so many orders of nuns, that we have lots of sisters that are at the conference that kids get to encounter and talk with and become more open to God's calling in their life. Lots of priests come with their groups. The Spokane Diocese does a great job of showing up to hear confessions. We have confessions all throughout the weekend, giving the kids that opportunity to just cleanse their souls as they enter into Mass on Sunday. So, I'm really excited for all of the changes, and just hoping that people have confidence in those changes. The whole weekend kind of culminates on Saturday night, where they do Eucharistic adoration for about an hour and a half, typically, after a lot of dynamic talks and the kids really starting to open themselves up. Then they bring Jesus into the room and do a procession throughout the venue, and stop at every 5 to 6 kids and do a blessing. And it's so beautiful to be there and to be praying and to watch these kids look at the monstrance, and you can see that they are seeing Jesus. It's like they're looking in his face and just having their hearts transformed in that moment. So I'm excited for all of the new groups that are going to be able to come and experience that, and just to give these kids that are having such a hard time, especially in the public schools here in the Northwest, like this sense of unity with people from all over. You know, we have Montana, Idaho. Last year we had Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Canada. It just gives the youth this sense of hope of like, they're not alone. And our church is so big and there's so many people to support us. And just that opportunity to see that in the face of their peers.
Absolutely. You know, Jesse, one of the things that I find like so delightful is when I show up at the conference, look with my kiddos, or whether it's to, you know, pick them up, or whether it's to go to the mass, or even just spend some time in adoration, the chapel that you guys have set up for that. I see the kids, they're oftentimes like grouped together, they will have same t-shirts on, right? Or some kind of marker to identify them as a group. And I find that also to be a beautiful fruit or gift that comes from this conference, is that it allows kids that are maybe part of the same parish, but maybe haven't been so bonded together in a youth group, or maybe they've been in a youth group but haven't done a lot that has helped them advance spiritually. Now all of a sudden they come to the conference, they have this like plunge into like spiritual revival, this sense of reviving their faith, deepening their faith, encountering Christ. And then they get to go back, right? Because during the course of the weekend, they're talking together in their groups, right? So they hear a talk and then they go off and they discuss. And the boys go off and discuss with the guys talk, and the girls talk. And all of a sudden now they're having meaningful and deeper types of conversations that you can't just take for granted that that's happening in their own groups and their parishes. And so that can lead to fruits after the event is done. You know, now all of a sudden they've got friends in the youth group, friends in their parish, that they'll be able to continue to walk day to day their own life of faith in such challenging times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, like for my son last year, it was the opportunity that he's like, I can ask my friends to come to this. Like, he might not be fully comfortable asking them to come to mass on Sunday with us, but he was like, this was such a beautiful experience. My friends would want to experience this. And so it's an evangelization tool for our kids as well. And it's been beautiful to see even the employees of the venues that we meet in, they love our kids and they see, they might not acknowledge it or realize what they're seeing, but they see that they're different and they're seeing Jesus in these teenagers, and it gives them hope and they want to come back and be the person on staff the next year.
That's so beautiful.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
I'm talking again with Jesse Oakland about the Steubenville Northwest Conference that's happening this year. Jesse, you haven't mentioned yet, what's the website that folks should go to if they want to learn more or register themselves or point their parish youth group? Hey, here's the website. Here are the dates. So when is the event this year? I think it's at the end of June. And then what's the website they should go to?
Yeah, it's actually July 11th. To the 13th.
It's July this year. Okay.
Our website is spiritusnw.org. It has the registration information. It has our speaker team on there. You can also go to the Steubenville Youth conference website, and it gives you information just about their conferences and their other locations. They have them all over the country. We don't have any super close to us. A lot of them, you know, on the East Coast, they're a lot more clustered in where their conferences are. So you can go to either one of those websites.
SpiritusNW.org. SpiritusNW.org, folks. That's the website to learn more about this year's Steubenville Northwest Conference, happening again July the 11th to the 13th. Jesse, one of the things that I have found as well to be a profound moment of having kids reflect is something that happens on Sunday morning at the end of Mass. Now, you know what I'm talking about. So yeah. I'll let you kind of take it from there. But it's really a neat thing when it happens. But I'll let you go ahead. What am I talking about, Jesse?
Yeah. So, I mean, the weekend they're exposed to all of these priests and all of these nuns and all of these religious people. And the weekend just really is focused on opening the kids' hearts to God's call in their life, whatever that may look like, and kind of opening their eyes for the first time, maybe to being open to a vocation to religious life. So after Mass on Sundays, they do a vocations call and have everybody who is open to the priesthood or becoming a religious stand up. They do the boys and then they do the girls separately. And all of those kids stand up and they come up onto the stage with the group of nuns, or they come up onto the stage with a group of priests, and they're prayed over. And just for God to, you know, guide their discernment and their openness to a vocation to religious life. And then they're given resources. We try to follow up afterwards and connect them to their local diocese resources as well. But it's a really cool thing to see so many kids by the end of the weekend say, yeah, you know, if God wants me to do something, I'm going to do it.
And what you just said there at the end, that is game changing, right? I think about the idea of being willing to step forward in a public way and to witness to something that is on the inside of me. And so when I watch these high schoolers hear the invitation that says, if this is something that you're open to, something that you're feeling this little nudge towards, stand up, step out, move forward, and come out into the public and stand in front of us all. That's quite a thing for high schoolers to take that type of step. And I do really believe there's a grace that is given to these young people, that whether or not they're called to be priests or religious sisters, just the fact that they were willing to say, I am open, I am not afraid in this environment to stand up and to move forward and to be visible in this environment as someone who's open to that call. What does that do? I honestly think that that can help foster for all of them, but for those who are willing to step forward in that environment, to step forward day to day in your high school hallway, among your friends, when you're hanging out. What are the things that you're looking at on the internet? What are the things that you're talking about? What are the things that you're considering doing? How are you? There are just 100 environments where these kids are going to be faced with a moment of challenge to stand up and become visible about a fundamental commitment that they have in their lives. And so having something like that happen at the event, I just think that it gives them a moment in their lives where they realize standing up and being a witness, it matters. And that can change my life. That can change a life. And so I love when I see that unfold on Sunday mornings. So there's that. There's another gift, Jesse, that I have found at these events, and that is it will expose young people to the gift of praise and worship. The kind of music that they can get engaged in, because fortunately, I want to say that the majority of high school students, Catholic high schoolers, when they're at Mass, they're not reaching for the music, the hymnal. They're not like saying, please let me find the song first and sing it out loud with a sense of exuberance and a full voice. That is not the default setting for high school students, right? But come to this event and you'll see that as the kids over the weekend become introduced to certain songs, when they get repeated, all of a sudden by Sunday morning, again, you get not only at Mass, but then after Mass, where the music ministry will play a few more songs. These kids, they are all in. They are just all in and out there. That would be another one of the, again, gifts of the conference for me, is that kids who play, who involve music in their lives so extensively, are not by nature going to quickly include Catholic praise and worship music into their Spotify, playlist. But yeah, this can change that. So, well, there you go, Jesse. Jesse, I want to give you a chance. Is there anything else that's important that you'd want to make known about this year's Steubenville Northwest Conference, or just about this, just the conferences themselves? I want to make sure that you have a chance to share something else, or something that you think it would be important for our listeners to hear.
Yeah, so the theme this year is consumed. It's the theme for all of the Steubenvilles across the country. And I feel like in our culture, we're consumed by so many things that are not good for our souls. And so the focus is really on being consumed by the presence of Jesus and letting God lead your life. And so I think that this year's theme is very fitting and very important for the culture and the world that we're living in right now for our young people. I want to let people know, if you've never been to a conference, bring your youth group, give it a try. I think you'll be surprised with just the amount of graces that will flow in your ministry through this experience and opening up your kids. If you've never been to our conference, we want to offer 10% off the group registration. If you hear about us on the show and you haven't been to a conference before, we also know youth group isn't for every kid. Some kids don't, they're not involved in youth group. So as long as the parents have safe environment and are in good standings with their church, since COVID, this is new that Steubenville has allowed us to do this, but we allow parents to bring their children or their kids and a niece and nephew, or their kids and a couple of friends. Like, you can register on our website as a small group, as long as you have all of your safe environment and the diocese guidelines. I think, prayers are so important, and to pray for this ministry and for our young people of the Pacific Northwest, that they can just be a beacon of light in the world that we're living in. You were speaking of the vocations call, and it is a really cool opportunity for the kids to be brave. Like, our kids, when they're little, they're brave for the first time with us. They learned how to walk in front of us because they know we'll catch them. And so this is an opportunity for them to be brave in front of their Catholic peers, which will give them the courage to be brave in their schools. And so I think that is a cool opportunity for them. I know I've been blessed because I have so many Catholic friends all over the Pacific Northwest now, from, people who have come to volunteer. We are always looking for volunteers to help make the ministry run. There's a lot of moving pieces throughout the weekend so that the speaker team can do what they need to do. So there's also information on our website if you're interested in volunteering. We'll have an adoration sign up because we have 24-hour adoration. We have to leave the building at night, so we do put the Blessed Sacrament away. But because these kids need our prayers and they need our encouragement. So there's information for those kind of things on our website as well. If you don't have kids and you're looking to get involved in the church and volunteer, we're looking for people to help bring Christ to the young people of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, amen to that. And it's a striking thing when people find out that such a large conference that draws over 900 kids and historically over 1,000 kids to come together for an entire weekend is run by an all-volunteer core of folks. And so if you've been blessed by the conference yourself with your own kids and you are in range of the event, especially folks listening in the Spokane area, please go to Spiritus Northwest, spiritusnw.org, spiritusnw.org, and look for a way to connect in and say, I'm here. I'm happy to volunteer. What can I do? And if you're at a distance, again, you might find ways to help get the word out to other parishes or help rally more kids to come to join up with your youth group so that they can also participate in the conference. And so many hands make light work, but the 80-20 rule often applies. It's the most busy 20% that end up doing 80% of the work. And so I'm guessing that you've also found that to be true a bit, Jesse, in your own work in this over the years. So thank you for being part of the 20% that has labored in the vineyard so that so many kids, including a couple of my daughters last year, attended. They enjoyed meeting the kiddos from Hawaii, which was fun for them. And one of my daughters was talking about coming back to Steubenville Northwest this year with her friends and talking about, with enthusiasm, meeting up with some of the kids that they met last year from other states. So just thank you so much for all you're doing to help create this venue, this event, so that kids' lives can be changed and that we can be supported and encouraged in our own attempts to raise our kids in faith, Jesse. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So folks, that's Jesse Oakland again with me. And I do encourage you to consider seriously and do what you can to get your high schoolers to attend Steubenville Northwest happening July 11th to the 13th this summer, and go to spiritusnw.org for more information, to sign up, and to get your youth group involved. Jesse, thanks for being with me today. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you. I hope you enjoyed that interview. In these next two segments of the program, I'm going to reflect on the linkage between this reality of a call to an awakened life of faith and how Steubenville Northwest has been a wonderful source of renewed life and awakened faith for so many young adults. I want to connect that to my own journey of faith and to Pope Leo XIV, of all things. How specifically? Well, I'm glad you asked. When I had that experience of an awakened faith, and it was in the context of the Eucharist, it was for me praying in a chapel by myself when my faith was challenged. You see, my faith was challenged, and that caused me to seek the Lord in a new way, at a new level, to a new extent. It was when my Catholic faith was put to the test. And in being put to the test, I was put to the test. The reality was, and you've heard the story before, if you've listened to me through the years, I was 19 years old, and a couple of my older brother's friends who were in nominal Catholic families and weren't practicing their Catholic faith, both became anti-Catholic Christians, belonging to different churches, but were virulently anti-Catholic. It was a prime feature of their own Christian faith. One was more fundamentalist and the other was more Pentecostal or non-denominational. But in both instances, they were distinctly anti-Catholic. That was one of their bents, one of their points of focus was for them to live out their faith in Christ. They needed to overcome sources of faith that for them were heretical. And in this instance, the Catholic Church was one of these sources of darkness, a blot, a stain in the life of Christian faith. So when they came back to us full of zeal and courage to promote their version of Christianity, they came against us strongly. They came against us hard. And that challenge I had to face in some way. I couldn't just sit still. I had to take some action. And the action that I took was to go deeper into my Catholic faith, to seek to come alive by pressing into my faith. And in doing that, I could then come back at them. I could come back at them. I'm not in a not in a mode that was going to be somehow, you know, aggressive, but in a way that was convicted and confident about the truth that had been given to me and that had come alive in me as a result of my encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. And that's what happened. I went to the parish. You've heard me tell the story. Father Joe brought me out to the tabernacle in the chapel. He said, pray, and Jesus asked Jesus to reveal himself to you. He'll show himself to you. And he did. It was in that encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. He helped me understand the scriptures, and the word of God came alive for me. And I was stirred into flame. And here's the thing. Like, the challenge was the gift. The challenge was the gift. It was an indirect gift from these friends of my older brother that I also knew well. They didn't come to me saying, hey, Tom, dig further into your Catholic faith, discover there its authentic and profound roots, and then come alive in faith, be set on fire, and then come back and talk to us. That is not what they said. They were coming after the church, and it led me to Christ. And then leading me to Christ, into his heart, it then gave me a heart for the gospel in a whole new way, and to bring that gospel to the world with a whole new level of commitment. And my whole life changed. Because of that challenge, because of that confrontation, I stopped studying electrical engineering. I entered the seminary. I pursued the Lord in the seminary for 5 years, 2 years in Boston, 3 years in Rome at the North American College. And then after that, discerned that I needed to step apart from the seminary formation and start serving the Lord in the Catholic Church as a lay person. And it led me into this path where I ended up getting the PhD in theology, and then I've been doing church ministry all the way since 1989. That's when I left the seminary, 1984 when I entered the seminary. So 41 years ago. Well, a funny thing happened along the way. So being in Rome for those 3 years, I was in a place that was known historically as a bishop factory, that the great majority of bishops of the United States had studied at the North American College in Rome, that dioceses, the big prominent dioceses, had sent their cream of the crop, their top candidates, to Rome to study, to receive the privilege and the gift of being able to be close to the Holy Father in the Eternal City. And unfortunately, it also led to a type of politicking, a type of making connections, seeking out relationships with other seminarians who had a sense of a vision for the ecclesiastical ladder climbing. If you got an MBA at an Ivy League school, it would be getting the golden Rolodex, right? You want to get those connections with those other members that were in that exclusive club, right? Well, and the funny thing is that, sure enough, that politicking was a definite ramp for a number of guys that were at the North American College with me. And that politicking was a common feature. Now, I had more evangelical fervor. My spirit was one of striving to be holy, striving to go deeper into theology, striving to evangelize. Those features of my personality and of the way I'd living my faith, it also was how I lived in the seminary. I did not have a political bone in my body. I didn't understand. I was really, frankly, naive when it came to that approach to being at the North American College, and the idea that you'd strive to build an ecclesiastical career, It just wasn't on my radar screen. It wasn't me. It wasn't built into me. But it was for a lot of guys. And what that would lead to, what that tended towards, is a desire to be deferential, to not make waves, to curry favor, to seek to not like rock the boat. And that type of politicking, that type of approach to living life in the seminary, is one that carried over. It would flow over into the lives of priests, and in especially in diocesan life, right? If you were in chanceries and you worked in dioceses, and frankly, a lot of my friends ended up doing that. A lot of my friends ended up, and certainly like other guys that I studied with, I think there's over 20 of them now in the time that I was there that are bishops in different parts of the country. And it was a pretty common thing for guys to end up in important positions in chanceries, in diocesan offices. And so, you know, you really can't be that surprised, right? It's in the business world, you know, it's in corporate America, it's in many types of communities that have strong connections, whether it's, you know, some public service or frankly, just in politics itself, that in the desire to advance, there becomes a weakened degree of courage to stand up, speak out, and push back against those that have more power or influence, those who have positions where you don't want to bump up against them in ways that are going to be harsh and lead to a conflict. No, you stay in your lane and you say, trust the process and it'll work itself out, and we'll have some hand wringing, but we're not going to have that prophetic call. We're not going to have that prophetic call. And so I think about that, and I see Pope Leo XIV as someone who has had to navigate that. And what is just a wonderful gift that Pope Leo XIV, here's someone who, you know, grew up in Chicago, but then not only advanced in religious life and a form of religious life that's pretty vigorous, being an Augustinian, it's a vigorous way of living your religious vocation, but he had to simultaneously seek to be of service to the Lord in his community as he advanced in positions, but he did so in situations of great poverty in Peru, where he was serving. He understood the missionary spirit of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and lived that for an extended period of years in his priesthood, to then move to a higher role at the Vatican in the Curia, where he was in the dicastery for bishops, playing this important role. It's a very striking thing. So here's a pope who understands the reality of what we'll call good politicking, the idea of saying, how do we get along? How do we seek to be one in the one, right? To quote his motto, how do we seek to be unified around our one true faith without compromise? That is so desperately needed today as a Catholic Church living in this world, so that when it comes time for us to stand and face those who would attack us, we won't be people of compromise. I'll be talking more about this in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and I'm reflecting on Pope Leo XIV, and I am sharing with you the way in which it seems to me, and we'll have to see how this plays out over time, how God has raised up someone who's going to revive a more prophetic spirit among the bishops in the church today, and potentially help us to be more united as a church, so that we can be stronger in our own mission, stronger in our voice where we come and face the world. We face the world evangelistically, and we face the world prophetically. That is so desperately needed, right? John 17, Jesus said, may they be one, Father, as you and I are one, so that the world might believe. You see, I believe, it seems to me when you read the scriptures that Jesus associates the power and dynamism of our evangelistic work, the witness that we bring out into the world, is connected in an intimate and profound way to the unity that we experience as a church. When our unity is weak, when our unity is non-existent, when it's broken and it's fractured and we're divided, when we have conflict, then we won't be someone that can be a strong light speaking to our wider communities. And so the call that our Holy Father, Pope Leo the 14th, is putting forward is we better be one, we better be united. And yet there are also these other strands associated with the Pope in his call, in his identification of the name, Leo the 14th. And he identified this in one of his early messages that in referencing Leo, he talked about the prophetic way that Pope Leo the 13th had become identified through his challenging message in Rerum Novarum, the challenging message how we had to uphold the rights of workers. And he wasn't trying to talk internally to the church. He was turning and facing the world and saying to the world, look, you cannot treat human beings as things, as mere objects. No, they have rights. And just because you're in a position of power and you have money and you are founders or you're on the side of capital, that doesn't mean that those that are on the side of labor can be treated in a way that is unjust and unfair and doesn't recognize their rights and dignity. And so Pope Leo identified, the 14th was identifying that strand in Leo the 13th. Now, the other feature is that Leo the 13th was the one who had that vision of that encounter, that dialogue between Christ and Satan. And when he came out of that mystical experience, he wrote the St. Michael the Archangel prayer and had it be said by priests at the end of every Mass. And it's something that we see growing again in popularity these days. Okay, so there's a dimension of spiritual warfare associated with the name Leo the 14th. In fact, the traditional feast day of Saint Michael was the day that he was elected Pope. And so there's an insight there. An insight that comes from God, like the Lord ordained that he would be raised up to be Pope on that day, on a day especially associated with honoring Saint Michael the Archangel. And so it seems to me, again, that there very well could be something where the Lord is saying to the church, the wider church, through the Pope in his choice of the name Leo the 14th, it's time for us to recognize that there is a warfare, a spiritual warfare that is coming against the church. And we have to fight. We have to battle. And sometimes it's a battle of ideas. Sometimes it's a battle of policies. Sometimes it's a battle of laws. Sometimes it's a battle of trends in wider society. Sometimes it's cultural norms that are taking hold. And our call as a church is not simply to go along and get along, not simply to cower and hide, but the gift that I received when I was 18 was that my faith was challenged. There was a pushing back against me. There was a sense of saying, if you don't have a strong conviction about your Catholic faith and you're not willing to go discover it, live it and defend it and promote it, then you know what? You're going to lose it and you're going to lose ground. And that was such a gift to me when that happened. And I share that with you because I want so much for us to be the church today that is not afraid to be salt, light, and leaven. What good is it to be the light of the world, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, right? It's not just that he's the light of the world, but we are because we live in him. And if he lives in us, then he's going to be light through us. And it does us no good to cower down and put a basket over our light just because people don't like it. And people will try to shut off the light, shut down the light, confuse the light, knock off the light, right? No, be a light, brothers and sisters. Don't worry about being politically accepted and acceptable. Don't worry, first of all, about those who are attacking us or coming against us, and beginning with an answer that is hands in the air. I'm apologizing, right? Rather than using the authentic meaning of being unapologetic, making a rational defense for what we believe. We need more courage. We need a courage that will stand up, speak out, and push back against the wider culture, the wider society in which we're living. And we're not going to do that without that renewed faith. With that renewed faith that gives us vigor, that gives us a sense of confidence, that gives us a conviction, and gives us courage. Otherwise, we will settle for compromise. We'll settle for less. And we'll lose more ground. We'll lose ground in laws and policies. We'll lose ground in the cultural norms that get promoted and accepted. And in doing that, are you thinking that we're fulfilling our call? I don't think so. That's not being light. But also salt. But Jesus said, salt, right? You put salt on something to preserve something. You put salt on something to draw out the flavor of something. You put salt on something to improve the taste of something. And if the salt loses its flavor, if it loses its capacity to preserve, if it loses its capacity to enhance and draw out the authentic goodness of things, then what good is it? It's not the salt, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be giving a gift to our culture. We need to be giving a gift to the society and the circles that we're living in. We need to be willing to give a gift to the politicians and the legislatures and the governor in the state of Washington who self-identifies as Catholic or in some manner or form is associated with being Catholic. We need to give them a gift, give them all a gift. And that gift is a courageous, prophetic announcement that the Catholic Church and the living out of her Catholic faith is fundamental to flourishing as a state. And if there are attempts that are happening here in the state to undermine, weaken, overthrow, or to use a propagandized false narrative to attempt in another way to sweep the legs out from under the vigorous living of our Catholic faith, we better stand up and give that gift of standing up. We better speak out and give that gift of speaking out and saying, this is not okay. This is wrong. This is undermining the authentic identity that we have as people of faith. For too long, we have remained quiet when laws have passed that have destroyed the reality of human life as beginning at conception. Too long, we have failed as a Catholic people to stand up and fight against the loss of the authentic sense of true compassion and dignity for those that are in vulnerable states and near to death. We failed as a people of God to stand up for an authentic understanding of God's vision of marriage. This has all happened in the state of Washington, and it continues to happen. We have failed as God's people to stand against a school system that has promoted a dark, broken, evil vision of sexuality. It is running rampant over the purity, modesty of young people today. We can't let that happen regarding confession. We can't let that happen. We must not. I'm at the end of my program. God bless.